Okay, we left off last week. We discovered there's a major machlokes in the Rishonim for sure, in the Achronim for sure, about a fundamental question about what the status of a get is in terms of dinei Torah, in terms of dinim, beis din, etc. We got onto this discussion because the Mishnah, the beis din, and which we're learning now, lists off all the different cases that require but they did him, the dinei Torah, then the 3 in the dinei Torah, then the 23 in the dinei Torah, the 71. And get is not mentioned in the list at all, but there is something else that is mentioned on the list. That is miun, that din derabanan, when a woman wants to, a little 11-year-old girl wants to uproot the kedushin of the mother and the brothers, but derabanan. So then the Mishnah says you need a beis din of 3. Rashi of the spot says, oh, what do you need 3 for? Called the tikkun rabanan kein deraisa tikkun. So we were startled. Kein deraisa what? What deraisa? Where deraisa? So the Nevi Yehuda popularizes Rashi. The Nevi Yehuda claims that Rashi sheet is that a get requires 3 dayonim. It's a din Torah like any other din Torah. I mean, a Torah requires 3 dayonim. So the Rebbe Yehuda was not the first one to say this. There were Rishonim who said it. The famous Rishonim, there was a Ruah, and others already before the Ruah said it. And it may even have its roots back in the Gemara in Maseches Gittin, which talks about requiring dayonim smuchim for a get under certain circumstances. So there definitely was a view in Rishonim and Acharonim, no question about it, that a get requires a beis din. And then the Idach Gisa, there are others who say, the Rashi never meant a get, the Rashi meant something else. And the Gemara in Gittin and the Peches was talking about a get ma'usa, was talking about forcing a get, it wasn't even talking about a get proper, it was talking about the koyach of kfiya requires a beis din. It's a strange machlokes. We got from Gedolei HaRishonim, from Gedolei HaAcharonim, mamash split down the middle. Half of them are saying there's an absolute din deraisa, chayf lo yavar, beis din requires a get, and the others say, never heard of such a thing. So let's work within the world right now.
Then, once you say you need a beis din, how do you need smukim?
Well, in theory, you should need smukim, except for the fact that we have shlichus ayin. The same way the Gemara said in the Peches and Gittin, that we do Gittin bezman hazeh u'ma'aseh, Gittin bezman hazeh beis shlichus ayin. So the question becomes, why conceptually should you require a beis din? If that statement is true, and again, we're far from convinced that the statement is true, but all that sounds that statement is true, within those opinions that say that a get requires a beis din, like Mechatesa, what is it about a get that should require a beis din? What koyach is about a get? What makes a get something that's subject to the parasha, to the sugya of a beis din altogether? So even within that, there was a further breakdown in the Rishonim. Again, half the Rishonim already walked out of Shia. They didn't come for tonight. Shia, they said, we don't hold this, there is no din of beis din, so we're not talking about this topic. But within the view that there is a din of beis din, why exactly? Where does it come from? What's it based on? What is it about get that lends itself to require a beis din? So the Ozarua quotes a machloikis that he had with the Rivon. The Rivon was a little bit before the Ozarua. The Rivon was one of Rashi's sons-in-law. The Ozarua was a later period of the Balei Avtosfos. So the Ozarua makes reference to a machloikis that he had with the generations before him about this very topic. Both the Rivon and the Ozarua are of the opinion that a beis din is necessary for get, albeit for legamri different reasons. The Rivon said that a get proper doesn't really require a beis din. There's nothing about a get. It's not a din Torah. It's a religious document that's necessary to let a woman remarry, but there's no din Torah taking place. So what do you need a beis din for? The only thing is, says the Rivon, that every get, almost every get, will inevitably be connected to a din Torah down the line. You know why? When she gets the get, the next thing she's going to ask was the ksuba. That's usually what follows. So comes the Rivon and says, a get ba'atzmuso is not required a beis din, but since yet is linked to Hilchus Ksubas, and Ksuba for sure, if you have a sichsuch to a man and woman, whether Ksuba has been paid or not, that for sure requires a beis din. So the mail of the get also requires a beis din. It's the process. It's the beginning of the process of Gvias Ksuba. That's the din of a beis din Shabbat. But the get, that smell doesn't really require a beis. That's what the Rivon quotes. There's a rule says, what? Like, Mehechetese. We'll paskin on the get first. How many dayan do you need to paskin on the get? One rabbi, we have Nishal. If the husband and the wife can't get the rack together and they start fighting over the ksuba, so we'll convene a beis, and we'll pass it up. So what is the fact that this is going to potentially down the line result in the gvias ksuba? We'll worry about gvias ksuba when we get there. Right now, mechatesa, you require a beis. So the Yerzeru says the Rivan's Mahalach, putting the emphasis on the Ksuba Shabo, is too much. So Taka, why do you need a Beis Din? The Yerzeru still thinks you need a Beis Din. The Yerzeru says, I'll tell you why you need a Beis Din. The answer is, because you need a Beis Din. That's it. There's like, again, it's a din. Again, it's part of the Eilam Mishpat Shetosim Nifneim. Who told the Yerzeru that? The Gemara, on the Peches, in Maseches Gittin. The Gemara applies the rule of the Eilam Mishpat Shetosim Nifneim to a get. Now again, we thought, oh come on, the Gemara there was talking about forcing a get. So the Gemara was talking about Mitab Kfiya, that was a Hoshe Kotar last week. But the Yerzeru was a Rishon, he was entitled not to hold from Ashtu Kotar. The Yerzeru took the Gemara at face value. The Gemara said that Rav Yosef and Abaye were pumpling and handling about how could you be kaifa on a get without the Yom Smuchim? And the Gemara quotes the pasuk, the Eilam Mishpat Shatasim Lifrem, Lifrem Vlav Ediotis. Says the Yerzeru, you see that Chazal understood, Kach Kibu Chazal, that a get per se is considered to be a din Torah, nothing to do with the Ksuba, whether there will or there won't be a Ksuba, is irrelevant. A get Beatz Musa is considered to be a din Torah. So we have three different approaches now in Rishonim. We have probably most of Rishonim who never heard of this entire Shia, who said that Beis Din get Beis Din, who what, where? Vishtet anywhere in Chazal that a get requires a Beis Din. That was talking about kfiya. Rashi and Abayz, that was talking about chalitza. That was talking about isa. That was talking about other things. There's no mokor anywhere in Shas that a Beis Din is required for a get. That's one view in Rishonim. You want to put names in the Rishonim? I'll quote the Rif, quote the Rambam, quote the Rosh, probably Rashi and Tosfos, probably everybody. Anyone who didn't say fuck yet probably held that way. Like, we're going to make up a din of a Beis Din Yesh Me'ayin. But he had this dissenting view in Rishonim. No, of course a Beis Din is necessary for a get. Within that view, you had two, that further breakdown, is it mikoch the ksuba shabo, or is it mikoch the get biatzmo? But basically, we have to deal with a very, very basic question. We touched on this question a little bit last week, and kind of ran out of time. It was a very, very basic question, because those shittos that say that a get requires a beis din, it can't be. It's not shayach to say that a get requires a beis din of three dayonim. It can't be. I'll tell you how I know that. We mentioned the Gemara at the end of the Shia last week. The Gemara wakes up on Daf Hamid Beis and Maseches Gittin. There's a whole discussion. When you have a maybe get Medina Sayat, we've been talking a lot of time in the morning, Kol Boker, a Shaliah comes from Chutz Laaretz and brings a get, and he has to say, Befari Nechdam, for all kind of technical reasons. The Gemara says it has to be done in the front. The Beis did. How many dayanim do you need? Is it two dayanim? Is it three dayanim? A whole people of Daf long about the giving of a get, Befari Nechdam. What number dayanim do you need? So stop. Hold the phone. If every get requires dinim amrus b'shloisha, hein mitam d'ksuba, hein mitam d'get b'atzmo, if either the Rivan or the Yerzeru were right, why does the Gemara wake up about a maybe get m'din asayam? All of a sudden, the Gemara talks about maybe get m'din asayam. Oh, we need a Beis Din. Let's decide how many dayanim do we need. Two or three. Forget about maybe get m'din asayam. Forget fanech fanechdom. Doesn't the get per se require, either because of the ksuba or because of itself? So this is a bomb kasha. This kasha is almost insurmountable. So here, as we mentioned at the end of the show last week, we have an advantage over the Nevi Yehuda. We don't have too many advantages over the Nevi. We better take the ones that we have. Our advantage is that we have the Yerzeru. The Nevi Yehuda didn't have one. The Yerzeru wasn't in print. It was out of circulation for hundreds of years. So anything that the Acharonim had for the Yerzeru was a quoting from a Rishon. From Rishon, who was quoting the Yerzeru. So the Nevi Yehuda did not ever see the inside of the Yerzeru, but Baruch Hashem, we 100 years or so after the Rebbe Yehuda was tapa printed. So the Yehuda me'atzmo asked this kasha. And the Rebbe Yehuda suggested that maybe the answer to the question is as follows. If you go down the route of the Rivan, again, there was a root, the Rebbe Yehuda didn't chop that there was a machlokes Rivan or Zeruah because he didn't have the whole piece. So he had a very, very short time to sadvarim. But he's mechabing to the following, says the Rebbe Yehuda. If you tell me that the whole reason why you need a Beis Din for a get is not the get per se, but it's Hashem D'Ksuba, then the corollary will be, if you have a get that you know there's no Ksuba attached to, for sure there's no Ksuba. This is never going to lead to a din Torah about the Ksuba, then such a get taka doesn't require a Beis Din. It doesn't require the Ramos B'Shloisha. There is no din that the get proper requires. The get is only Hashem D'Ksuba. If you know in advance there's never going to be a din Torah of the Ksuba, so Mamela, there would not be a requirement of Din and Gittin B'Shloisha. What kind of a get do you know with absolute certainty? A Ksuba was never written. It wasn't written. It's supposed to be written. If it's Eirusin, a get mina Eirusin, a get mina Kedushin. In the olden days, there was Eirusin, then there was a year break, then there was Nesuin. In theory, the marriage could dissolve after the Kiddushin, before they ever got to Nisuin. If and when such a marriage broke up with a get before Nisuin, there's no Ksuba. The Ksuba only starts. B'shas Nisuin, there is no Chi of Ksuba, but Erisin. The Gemara has a discussion about Metzia. What would the din be if, let's say, the husband went ahead and he volunteered, he wrote a Ksuba, B'shas Erisin. No one told him to, but he went on the Atzvo and wrote it. So in theory, says that a beauty could have hundreds and hundreds of gittin taking place that don't have a Ksuba attached to them. Or there could be other reasons why there's no Ksuba. Mew. Let's say...
But is there a Ksuba by Mew?
No, well, there's no get by Mew neither. The Mew itself is the... Mew itself with the Rabbana was saying something.
So it's a Kal Chaimer. If a get without a Ksuba doesn't need a Beis Din, then... A non-get that doesn't have a
ksuba
should also.
Well, that is true, but a miyun does require a basin. Miyun needs a basin either because it was instituted keneged.
No, but it can't be keneged. Like Rashi was saying from get. This whole note miyun was started because he's saying that it's mitam get.
I mean, according to that shtickotarit in Rabbi Yehuda, that the whole miyun that Rashi was driving at was can't get, and the whole reason why the get required it was ownership of ksuba. And Miyun Tapa doesn't have a ksuba. Interesting. Yeah, it's a little bit of a circle. Yeah, that's a good kasha. I don't think about that anymore. So comes in a dude and says, anytime you have a get that you know for certain, there's no ksuba. We know the woman was mezana already. She already admits she's mezana tachta. She knows she's not getting any ksuba. We know that it's an erusin. There is no ksuba. Says in Abuda, if there's no ksuba, then there's no din of requiring a beis din of shloisha. Says in Abuda, that's why the Gemara starts the discussion at the beginning of the Maseches Gittin about when you have a maybe get din of sayam, how many dayanim do you need? We ask the kasha, what do you mean how many dayanim? Don't you need a beis din for a get? The answer is not necessarily. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. If it's a get min and a suwin with a ksuba attached to it, in Ochinami, then the Gemara in Gittin's discussion is a moot discussion. But it's not absolutely per se that every single get is going to require three dayonim, because any get without a ksuba will not require three dayonim. So therefore, says the Rebbe, that's why the Gemara began the discussion. So it's a difficult shot. This may be a very difficult shot. It doesn't sound that way from the Gemara.
It means the dog.
Yeah. It means the Gemara is talking about, the Gemara never bothered to talk about the Ikar Din Daraisa of three dayanim, which you need on 90% of kitin. The Gemara only began the discussion on the Gabi, the Din, the Rabbanan, for everyone's votes. It's a difficult Levi, very difficult Levi.
Wouldn't there be
Xera
anyway?
I mean,
start creating differences in some get need a base in, some don't? It would just cost
Okay. Again, Levi is just talking about in the elements of the world of Raisa, some getting yes, some getting no. So the Levi Huda, and here again, we can't fault the Levi Huda. Halik and Levi Huda didn't have that as we were in front of him. He claims that that's what the Ur Zeruah would say, because he didn't see that what he thought the Ur Zeruah was saying was really the Rivan saying. So this teretz of the Nevi'im could be said according to the Rivan. It's possible. I'm not saying the Rivan had to say it. It's possible to be Tanhei on there. But according to the Ur Zeruah himself, who said that the requirement of a Beis Din is Mitam Get itself, this kasha doesn't get off the ground. This teretz doesn't get off the ground. So what's the embassy answer to this kasha? Putting aside the Nagidush Tikkun Torah, that maybe be the Rivan starts. What's the embassy answer according to the Azurah proper? So you know who asked this kasha? The Azurah, on himself. The Azurah asked this kasha himself, says, well, what am I talking about? How can I tell you the story that again requires a Beis Din? Nowhere in 90 blocks of us getting to, we have word about a Beis Din, except for that Gemara, and Tafei. So says the Azurah, let me tell you the secret. The secret is found in Masech HaSanhedrin, not in Masech HaSgittin. The secret is found in Masech HaSanhedrin. The secret begins with the name of Aperek, Dinei Mamonos B'Shloisha. So if you remember back to the first day of Shia, we said that there are two kinds of Dinei Mamonos. There are Gezeilos V'Chavolos, and there are Hodolos V'Alvos. Gezeilos V'Chavolos are, we call torts, breaking windows, breaking arms, stealing property, that kind of stuff. A contract, I breach a contract, hit in the air, I borrowed $1,000, you deny it, they gave you something to watch, the car got lost, they take a shot. Those are two different kinds of dini Torah. So it's the Gemara's clearest day in the beginning of the Masechet Sanhedrin that the first group of dini mamnis, there's a dini Torah, dini mamnis b'shlosh. That's not negotiable. How? It says in the Pasuk. Vinikra b'ayis elokim, elokim, elokim three times. Three, dayonim, shchoit lo yavor. Not even the latest philosophical about that. That's Gzeilos V'Chavolos. All those cases of Pasha Mishpat were all Gzeilos V'Chavolos. Now we want to know, what about Hodolos V'Alvolos? How many dayanim are necessary for hodos valvos? So that was a big machlekes in the Gemara. So one day in the Gemara says, hodos valvos, min ha-Torah also need three dayanim. And the other day it says, no, they don't. Maybe mitrabanon, chatchilon, altidan yichidi, ein derechil yecha. But min ha-Torah, be'ikar, be'ikar adin, and it could even be di'evet, ha-mashmur shnayim shadanu dineyam din. Shmuel says, hodos valvos, me'ikar, be'ikar adin, do not require three dayanim. How many dayanim do you need? What's the Lashon Yochid? B'tzedek, tishpoit, Lashon Yochid, am yisecha. Dayan echad kosher, in a Torah. Says the Ozarua, even al hatzad, that a get is a din Torah. It requires a beis din. What is it? Is it gzel svachavolos or sadol svachavolos? Was gzel svachavolos? Who's beating him? Who punched who? Who stole from who? It's a sichsuch between a husband and a wife. It's a breaking up. It's the ultimate break. You breach a contract. You're breaking up through the marriage. So says the Zerua, even Zolzain that I'm right, which again, the Rivas says you're not right, and everyone else, all the other Shem says you're not right, even Zolzain that I'm right, that a get beatz musa requires a beis din. It needs a beis din, all right, a beis din of exactly how many day on him? One. B'tzedek tishpat amisecha. It's like Odolos Valvos. The Zerua claims we pass like that opinion. Hardly controversial, but says that the Zerua, we pass it with the Raisa Chad Nami Kosher. It's Odolos Valvos, plain and simple. And therefore, yes, the answer to the question is, does a get require a beis din? Absolutely requires a beis din. And how many dayanim have to sit on this beis din? One. Says the Ozarua, you want to know now why nowhere in Maseches Gittin does anybody bother talking about how many requiring a beis din for Gittin? Of course there's one guy there. There better be one guy there. Actually, there better be two guys there, because you need Eidei Mesira to get anyway. So every get's going to have at least one person there. So in that shayach, there's even the get b'no v'natzma, says the Ozarua. So but mele, every get under the sun is going to have at least one dayan. Good morning, says the Ozarua. The Gemara in Gittin wakes up and says, but the takana sochamim b'fari necha fari nechdom, that takana was, you need azah beizdin. Why did you need azah beizdin? So you got to get to the thing, figure out why. For that takana, you need shloisha or shnayim, maybe, depending on what you think the reason for that takana is. So the reason why the Gemara is silent about the requirement of a beis din, not because you don't need a beis din. Avadin is a beis din. We just redefine what beis din is. Beis din means sach hakol, hakol bil hakol of one. So you're probably wondering, so therefore what? So maybe beis din of one. Like, what is it? What do the words mean? Hold off for a minute. Put them in the back burner. Why that's significant? It's one, but it's a shame beis din? That's going to cause trouble down the line. But hang in there for a moment. So Rabbi say, again, we have three biurim in the Gedolei Rishon, and what a take is about what they dinim and gittin. We have probably the opinion of Ruben the Rishon, who said this whole discussion is a meaningless discussion. There is no such thing, never was, never is, never will be a requirement of beis din. Within the world of the Rivan de Azurua, there is a requirement, according to the Rivan of the Momenes of the Ksuba, according to the Azurua, Mitam, the din of get biatful, that's included the Elam Mishpat Shetasim Ifneim. Depending on why you figured it a beis din, you will use to answer the question, how come the Gemara doesn't mention this beis din all the time? So according to the Yudah / Rivan, it's because the Gemara was entertained the possibility, maybe it's a get Arusa, maybe there's no ksuba, whatever the case may be, if the Gemara didn't mention it, but li'olam, there would be such a requirement. Whereas according to the Ozarua proper himself, the reason the Gemara didn't mention three is because, yes, you need a beis din, but no, you don't need any more than one.
Says Ozarua in the Rashi.
What? The Ozarua is not Meshub to this Rashi. The Ozarua is not going. The Rashi, we don't even know what the Rashi is talking about. Rashi, we're talking about Chalitza, we have no idea what Rashi is talking about. So, by say, there is one pivotal Gemara that we opened up very, very, very quickly last week, and now we have to go back to, which shed significant light in this discussion. So, we made a comment before. That according to the Ozarua, it's a little bit of a downer, a little bit of a letdown. When you built up this whole Shtikl Torah, it's a din, a beis din, a beis din, a beis din, and then you turn around and say, oh, by the way, one's good enough. So, come on, it's a little bit. Why enough community then? You need a beis din. So I'll throw out another question to you. What is the din if a get is given at night? Is that a red flag in Ochus Gittin? Is there any problem with giving a get at night? So, l'chora, what's the problem? What does it do? Why can't you even get a night? Wait a second. the wheel's turning. If you think that there's some dimension of din here, then we have a Mishnah in the sense that it's telling us dinei Torah, generally speaking, do not occur at night. And therefore, you can have the following phenomena. According to the first group of Rishonim, that there is no din of a din altogether, not in the Heimitam Meksuba, Heimitam the Yetzim again, Gittin adjust, no Shaychas to dinei Torah, so then Lechadchil, you give a get at night. According to the Rivan, when can you give a get at night and when can't you give a get at night? The answer is depends. If there's a Ksuba attached, then it becomes elevated to become a din, and the same way you need to be dayon himself till you need yom. If there's no ksuba attached, because it's a get erisin, then there would be no requirement to give a dafka again. What about according to the Ozerua? The Ozerua now turns out to be the biggest machmer in the sugya. Says the Ozerua, I believe that a get is a 1,000% din Torah. I happen to hold as a quirk that dayanechad is kosher, but just because dayanechad is kosher, that does not detract this din Torah shavai. And therefore, according to the Ozerua, if you give a get at night, that get, I'm afraid to say it, may be possible in Torah, according to the Ozerua. Under all circumstances, Hain beget Arusa, Hain beget. So there's no difference. That's an arbitrary distinction. That's the Rivan's distinction. That's not the Ozerua's distinction. According to the Ozerua, any and every get given a night is possible in a Torah because Ain Don Balayla. I didn't say Nitri Tayonim, Chadami Koshim, but still, Ain Don Balayla. So that three way machlekes of Rishonim now, whether according to the first group of Rishonim, Lahurd Vamiyolim, you give a get at night, Lechadchila. According to the Rivan, you have to ask yourself, is it a get a Rus or a get a Su? And according to the Zeru, it's out of the question all the time. This now has to be analyzed. This three of Machlokes Rishonim has to be analyzed in light of the Sugya in Masechet Yevamos. We just barely scratched the surface of that Sugya last week. Let's try to pick it up from that Sugya once again. So let's go back to Kuf Dalal Ben Aleph from Masechet Yevamos. Towards the top of the page, the Mishnah tells us, Cholza Balayla Chetzas Ksheir of Rebbe Elozah Paisil. A chalitza that's done at night is acceptable according to the Tanakh, according to Rebbe Elozah, it's possible. The Gemara has a different version of the Machlokes. It could be that we have the names flipped. It could be that Rebbe Elozah was the Machshach of the Paisil. It's not clear who said what, but definitely one Tana said good, one Tana said bad. What is the issue? So comes the Gemara and says, the Machlokes revolves around the following. Let's skip down the Gemara a couple of lines. It's about five lines after the Gemara starts. First one line is Gemara. Hachabacha biflagi. Mar sovar kechalitza ketchilas dindamya. Umar sovar chalitza kegemara dindamya. One Tana says that chalitza is like the beginning of a din Torah. And the other one said chalitza is like the end of a din Torah. What does that mean? So here the Gemara is referencing the sugya of Masechet Sanhedrin that you're not allowed to start a din Torah Balayla. But if you did, if it's Dina Mominus, Madchila Mayoim Vigarma Fila Balayla. If your Beis Din started at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and it's time for Davri Meir, keep on going afterwards, Gomim Balayla. How do you know that? Psukim Ruchum. Well, there's a whole fancy drasha based on Psukim that Dina Mominus, Madchila Mayoim Vigarma Fila Balayla. But you're not allowed to be Madchil Balayla. So comes the Gemara with a very, very cryptic statement and says, that's the Nekudas Machlok Sin Rabbi Allah Zun Nechachamim. Is chalitza tchilas din, or is chalitza a gemar din? How would the Rivan read this gemar? How would the Ozerua read this gemar? Again, the Rivan and the Ozerua, we're not talking about chalitza, they're talking about gittin. But let's try to creep into their minds and see, how would they look at this gemar? So l'chora, the question is, why is chalitza like either tchil or gemar? Why is it a din altogether? What makes chalitza a din? What's chalitza din? What is it about chalitza that's a din? So Rashi, if we take a look at the second of the thin lines, Rashi writes, v'chalitza din hu d'goyv k'shubasa. Remember I told you the Rivan was Rashi's son-in-law. Where do you think the Rivan got it from? He got it from the Shver. Rashi sticks in two words. I'm learning Yivam, it's not k'shubas. And all of a sudden, Rashi stuck into my sentence, Yivam, it's k'shubas. So you see an unbelievable thing. And the Rivan quotes this Gemara through the eyes of Rashi. The Rivan says, obviously, the din of Chalitza, what makes Chalitza subject to the parasha of Yom versus Laila, of Dinei Teira, it's not the Yetzim of Chalitza, says the Rivan, it's the Ksuba Shavu. If that's the case, and now we have to really, really understand, so why should we call it a Tchilas Din? Why should we call this off? Remember, we're not focused on the chalitza. This has nothing to do with taking off shoes. Nothing to do with spitting on floors, nothing to do with Kriyas HaPsukim. The din aspect is purely al shame, saif al shame, the Gvias HaKsum. But the Rivan say that whenever you have two processes that combine, that fuse to become one, the entire process is called the din now. So even the chalitza proper takes on the category of ksuba, just like the Rivan said by a get, that the entire get process takes on the characteristic of a din Torah because of the ksuba. The engine driving both Yevamos and Gittin is the ksuba shiva. That's what the Rivan says. Chalitza Rashi is Merami is doing those two words. So if I ask you, if a woman standing in front of us, and she's about to take off the shoe of the Yevam, and we're yelling, oh, there's a din! We're just not sure, is it Tchilas Din or it's Sof Din? What do you think it should be? Is this Tchilas Din or Sof Din? Is this the first thing we're doing? So the Rivan says, no, not so simple. That was the Lamdish Machlekes at the time. That's what we mentioned quickly last week, and we ran out of time. Pashup Shad is it's Tchilas Din. That's the simple Shad. Tchilas Din, because we're starting, we haven't done anything yet. Nothing's happened yet. That's the definition of Tchilas Din. So what is the Tanu who says it's Gemara Din? It's Machshechlis, the Machlis, the love of the rice. Is this woman who terribly knows it now? Is this called the Tchilas Din or Soiv Din? So comes Rivan and says, let me explain to you the man, the Yomar, that it's Gemara Din and everything's okay. You can relax. Because the minute that we do this Chalitza, Ksuba's in the bag. It's Gemara Din Nikvidami. It's Gemara Din Gavidami. Why? Because Shtar Rami Lidvois. It's Kigobi Dami, even though it's not really Machlik's Bishabi Silla, but like some halachas we accept, Shalom Luke's Kigobi Dami. So listen to what one Tana says. Since when you do the Chalitza, it's already finished, the job's done, the deal's done, that gives the Chalitza the status of Din, all right, of Gemar Din, not a Tchilus Din. Because of the halachas of Shalom Luke's Kigobi Dami, whatever in the world that means and how that applies and why that applies and if it applies. But it's that parsha, the Rivan says, Pemoli, it's that parsha, that sugya, Shtav and Luz Kogavidomi, that transforms Chalitza, not just to be a din. The Ksuba Shavo transformed it to be a din. The fact that the Shtav and Luz Kogavidomi, that the Ksuba is already in the bag, it's already done, the money's in the bank already, so to speak, that transforms it to become a Gemar Din, and therefore it's kosher, catch this one, Balayla. So I state in the Rivan. So I ask you, Rabbi Say. That's a Tana speaking. There's a Rivan sticking words into Tanoim. Does that meet the criteria? Is that the model of Dinimam that's Matchilim Bayoim V'Gomim Balayla? What is the nature of that halacha, Dinimam that's Matchilim Bayoim V'Gomim Balayla? It's a very Shigamar. Mishnayis, Gemara, Sugyuz, and Sanhedrin. Look at that from Sukkim. What's the nature of that halacha? You can have a Gemara Din Balayla. Some other thing? So Yesh Lachpor, one can understand that one of two ways. Either one can understand that the parish of Yom was never said in the Gemara Din. I've got the kash on the Rebbe Shom Star. Because Baruch Hu said the din of Yom was only said in Chilah and the Gemara. I can, that's it. What do I say? That's not the Pshat. The reason why the Gemara Din is kosher Balayla is because the Gemara Din is Nigra or Basawat, Basa Tchila. Like Lahavda. You got to start Shemon Esri, a second before Shkia. So you keep on going. As long as you got your foot in the door. So the din of Matchila Bayeh Begirin Balayla doesn't mean that a Gemar Din Batzmusa is Kosher Balayla. What it means is that Kol's man that the Tchila got started off Bayeh, we can close our eyes to the Gemara and say, well, you started Davi Bircha Fushki, it's good enough. So Rabbi say, this Tana who says, Chalitza is good Balayla, it's okay, we can do Chalitza Balayla, nothing wrong, you know why? Because it's din for Gemar Din, you know why? Because Shabbat Lingus is going down. But I understand. What was missing in this chalitza? You're labeling the chalitza as a gemara din, but what was lacking? There was never tchilas din by yom. You told me that the chalitza is tchil and gemara all rolled into one. So because the chalitza is a gemara din, api alocha, because shtar alamulik is gavodah, which you don't even understand, but even when we makabel that, amunas chachamim, the shtar alamulik is gavodah for these purposes, that gives us the ability to declare that a chalitza is a gemara din, and therefore it's kosher by a Torah by yom. What? Isn't the din of kosher by kosher b'layla? Isn't the din of gerum b'layla only because you started by yom? So what do you see clear as day from this Tana? Not like that side of the hakir. That's not kind of true. That dinei mamon is mechil by yom gerum b'layla doesn't mean because the gemara is nigra b'asa the tchila. Gobim Balayla, because that's our Kosh Baruch told Moshe Rabbeinu. Gobim Balayla, Bishofta Sol Mechaleis. Kash Lamaisa, the Pasuk of Parshas Yisrael. Bishofta Mechaleis, Gemara Din, it's Kosh Balayla. Whatever's labeled up in Din, it's Gemara Din, it's Kosh Balayla. Because you have a Shtickle Torah, Razzle Dazzle, Gemara in Sight, and you put together Shesh Maitzes that tell you that Shtah Amun is Kogobim Domi, so you want to label a Chalitza, it's a Gemara Din, Zolzayn, it's a Gemara Din. It's so great. So what did the other Tana say? The Tana says that it's no good Balayla. So he may have disagreed in one of two ways. It's all within the world of Rivan. It could be that the other Tana held the other side of Echakira. The other Tana said, it's cute to say that Chalitza is Gemara Din because the money's in the bank. That's very nice, true but irrelevant. Because there was no Tchila Bayom. Without Tchila Bayom, you can't have a Gemara Balayla. So it could be that the Nakudas of Machlaikis in Yevamos Kuf Dalam and Aleph is the Machlaikis Echakira, Echshayla, how to understand the nature of this Gzeis HaKos of everyone agrees it's such a din. It's a pasuk in almost everyone agrees it's such a din. It's based on two pasukim in Chumash. One pasuk says "Vayi v'yom and chilo v'yom lo b'layla." One pasuk says "V'shavta zom v'choleis afilu b'layla." Says the Gemara "Kasha kam b'chilu kam b'soif." So how do you understand this drasha kam b'chilu kam b'soif? So it could be that this chakir that we raised is pshat that's exerts the kasa b'yam and that Gemara is good b'layla and don't ask any kashas, or is it because of this phenomenon that the soif is basal b'chilu nigrar? That's goof of the Nakudas of Machlaikis HaTanoim tucked away in Yevamos Kuf Dalet. That's how the Rivan learned Pshat. Well, maybe no, maybe we got it all wrong. According to the Rivan, everybody agrees that Metchil Meyom Agon B'Lal doesn't require Nigrar. You know why the other Tana disagrees? Because the other Tana says, Shtarav is a Takanachim Gavidom. L'maisa Mipaskas Nachim Gavidom. It's not the Gavidom L'Gamrit. And therefore it's a regular Tchilas Din in Gemarno. So we're not sure wherein lies the Machlekes HaTanoim and Kuf Dal. This Gemara is so cryptic. The Gemara does, sometimes the Gemara will tell us a line. And we don't realize the Amorim could have spent 3 weeks in discussion about this. The Gemara just quickly summing up. The Gemara is giving us the Rashi Prachim of the discussion. The Gemara says, Mar Sama Kitchina Din, Mar Sama Gemara Din. Good, let's move on to the next segment. What? Why would anybody logically say one or the other? So Gemara is silent. So 700 years later, the Rivan wakes up and says, hey, wait a second. Why should you say Tchila? Why should you say Soif? So first the Rivan's got to go back to the drawing board to figure out, forget about Tchila Soif, why is it a din altogether? So he has to Shver, and Rashad Kazak, that's because of the Ksuba. Oh, once it takes based on the Ksuba, now I can philosophize about whether it's Tchila or Soif. And what's the Nekudas HaMachlokes? Either the Tanoim and Yevamos Kuf Dalet were fighting about the Sugin Sanhedrin, what's the nature of the din of Gomer Balayla, or the other, everyone agreed what the nature of that din is. About they don't need Nigra Basra Tchila. The Machlekes is about Hukhashtar Mulus Gobi Dami. So we don't know what was behind the scenes in Babylonia in the year 300. We're not sure what went behind these words. We know that the Gemara presents to us this was the Machlekes. Either Ketchil is Dirk or Gemara Din. So again, this entire Sugya, the way we just read this Gemara, I just quoted it right out of the Rivan. There was a real quote from the Rivan, Mamish Pemola, what we just said. Of course, who's going to argue with Tchila v'Yatzoch, no pun intended, Tchila and Gemara? Who's going to argue Legamri and the Sugya? The Yor HaZeruah. Because the Yor HaZeruah says that the factor that makes something to a din has absolutely nothing to do with the dollars and cents. Not everything in this world revolves around money, says the Yor HaZeruah. It's not the Ksuba that makes or breaks the din Torah. You know what makes or breaks it something to become a din Torah? If the Halacha declares it's a din Torah. So, v'shtei techalitz the din Torah? It's easier to get. Get, we couldn't quite figure out. So, Chalitza is easy. The pasuk says, Ziknei Aida. The pasuk says, Karlo Ziknei Yir of a Dibra I love. Nikshay Vimto Lenei Azakainim. Chalitza says, Azakainim. Ziknei Yir. Ziknei Yir always means Zakain. Always means Dayanim. Means Bezdin. But now I have a problem, says the Azura. Abba Zoi. If so, that what makes Chalitza into a din has zero to do with the monetary ksuba attached. That's tangential. It's the Etzem HaChalitza. Somebody please make some sense out of this line of the Gemara. What kind of arbitrary machlokes is that? Is Chalitza Tchilu or is it Gemara? Looks like Tchilu to me. what happened before to make this Gemara?
It's
both. So, what?
It's both.
But the Gemara is not presenting him. The Gemara is saying one day it says it's Tchilu and the other says it's Gemara. And the Bandiyomu says it's Gemara says it's Kosher Balayla because it's Gemara. What makes a Gemara? Don't look at the money. Don't look at the Ksuba. Ksuba is irrelevant in the Yor HaZeruah. So comes the Yor HaZeruah. This next piece of the Yor HaZeruah could have mamish been written by Rosh Hashiva in Litta and beginning of the 20th century. This mamshay shivisha vort, shtei befeirush and rishon d'yozeruah. Says d'yozeruah, the machloikis here is playing as follows. It's the yetzam achalitza that's up the question. What is chalitza in its essence? It's the lahatir as a isser of lo si eish lemeis chutz lizor. That's what chalitza is all about. Is that the beginning of the story? Or is that the end of the story? Let's walk through this very, very carefully. Rachel was married for a few years. Husband didn't have any children. So Kozban, the husband, was alive. She was an Eish HaSish. She tried to marry somebody else. She was out with somebody else. With this a Misa, with Mamzeris, the worst. We'll sit her. Husband dies. So normally, the first Mishnah Kedusha says, when we goes with terrorists, but Misa Baal is the matter of the Yisur of Eish HaSish. All of a sudden, Kum Parshas Kisaita says, oh, by the way, if this woman is all of a sudden, the husband died without any children. So then she requests chalitza. She can't just go marry just like that. She has to go through a second process. Well, I didn't say the word second, did I? She has to go through a process of chalitza. So how do you understand that phenomenon? She used to be an Eish HaSish. She experienced Misa Baal, which the Mishnah says 99% of the time is enough to set a woman free. And now the Torah slaps on the Nisim Yivam L'Shuk. So Yesh Lachkor, Lom D'Shachakira, what's the nature of what just happened here? So one can understand this in one of two ways. Either one can understand that La'olam, when a woman's husband dies, she becomes Mutaris. That's it, the game's over, the Ishus is broken. First Mishnah Kedushin, Isha Kindness, Atzah Beget of Misa Baal. The game is over. The game is over. The Ishus is gone. Bane if the husband had children. Bane if the husband didn't have any children. The game is over. The Ishus is broken. All of a sudden, Yesh Be'ayin, the Torah slaps him with the new Isser. Torah says, by the way, you who are a Penuyah, you're not an Ishus anymore, your husband's dead. By the way, Torah says, Lo Si'esh Lemeis Chutz Lizar. You can't get married until you do the following. Is the heter of chalitza have any shaychus whatsoever to the heter of Misa Baal? No, Misa Baal was a matel legamri. It was matel lock, stock and barrel, the isser of Eish HaSish. Chalitza is a brand new heter, being matel, a brand new isser. There's no connection, no pun intended, living or dead, between the heter of chalitza and the heter of Misa Baal. Because a new isser cropped up in the middle, called Los Yeser Meitzachus Lizar. If that's the lumdus of chalitza, then we have no other way to conclude than to call chalitza awat, etchilas din. It's starting the process. It is the first step in the process, the first, and it's everything. It's the beginning of the process of los yeser meitzachus lizar, of solving that problem. But what if we take a different view on the ishtalshus hadvar of this woman? The Mishnah says, Misa Baal is a matter of Eish HaSish. Almost all the time. Misa Baal is a matter of Eish HaSish if there's no Mokom Yibum. If and when there's a Mokom Yibum, then the Isser Eish HaSish of the original husband is not quite over yet. Now, she's not a full-fledged Eish HaSish anymore. Harai, if she's Mizan, she's not Chayav Misa, probably doesn't create Mamzeiros. According to some opinions, Kedusha still types in. So it's not a real Eish HaSish in the fullest capacity, but it's not Mufka Lagamri. It ain't over. I'm going to say, till what happens. It ain't over till it's over. You're buried. It ain't over till it's over. So until the Torah gives her the absolute green light to remarry, she's still stuck a little bit as an Eish HaSish of the original husband. Misa Baal did 90% of the job. It knocked it down from an Issa Misa, knocked out Mamzeiros. It solved a good chunk of the problem. But it needs a closer. Misa Baal pitched the first eight innings. You need a good closer. You know what the closer is? The chalitza is the closer. The Isser Lo Si'esh Lemeis Chutz Lizar is an extension of the original Isser of Eish HaSish. And therefore, we can conceptually view chalitza not as starting the process, but actually closing up a process, finishing a process. You know what we call a closer in halacha? We call it a gemar din. Says the Arzaruah, that's the Nekudas Machlokes, the Tanoim here. How do you understand this entire phenomenon, this entire parsha of Chalitza? What happened when the husband died without any children? was the Isser Eishes Ish Paka Lagamri, or it was Paka most of the way, and it needs Chalitza to complete the job. That will determine whether Chalitza is at Chilur or Soif. Al Hatzad that the Isser of Eishes Ish is Lagamri Paka, and it's a new Isser, that's Chal. This is not, the Yosef Ruh doesn't talk about what that new Isser is. There's a further debate in the Acharonim. What is the nature of that new Isser, assuming that's a new Isser? You could understand the new Isser one of two ways. Either you could say the new Isser is an Isser Mechadosh, it's like eating treif, it's like wearing shatnas, doing Meloch and Yonim. It's a new Isser called Nosiyas Mesh Chutz Lizar. It's not a what? It's not an Isha's Tikka Halacha. She's not married to the Yavim. No Sheikhs. She never met the Yavim. She's not married to him. She's not an Eish Zish of the Yavim. Her Raya, there's no Chi of Misa. She's with somebody else. So the Isra is an Isra before Atzmai. Or you can say, no. It is an Isha's Tikka Din. She's like a Shtikal Eish Zish. Not an Eish Zish of the first husband. An Eish Zish of who? Of the brother. It's the Lashon HaGemara. Isha Hikner Lomen HaShemayim. So Chalitza may be relevant to remove an Isha's Tikka Din, but not necessarily to remove the issues of the first husband, rather to remove the new issues of the second husband. So basically we have now, in this Gemara, in Yevamos Kuvdal, to the eyes of Yosef Ruh and beyond the world of Acharonim, are three conceptually different ways of understanding what the issue of Yevamos Lashuk is all about. The Torah says, what does that mean? What is the nature of that issue? So one Tana, according to Yosef Ruh, claims, what Losia Eish the base is a continuation of the original ishus of the husband, albeit just watered down significantly, but not removed entirely. Therefore, chalitza gemara did. According to the other opinion in Tanoim, the ishus of the husband's done. Gamarnu, history. It's a new iser. Within the world that's a new iser, then you have a further breakdown in the Acharonim. Is it a new iser, an ishus to iser, not to the first husband, but to the brother? Or is it mufka from ishus, not to ishus? It's an iser b'fiyatu, it's like eating chaz or wearing shahadis. So the Yosef Ruh doesn't go down that second Chakira, that Chakira had a child. But within the first nature of the Chakira, he claims to Machlaik Satan. I always thought it was fascinating that Machlaikis, the Yosef Ruh claims to Machlaikis Satanoim, which the other world of the Rosh Hashiva is a tumult throughout the entire Masechta of Yevamos, ultimately boils down to simple translation of a phrase in Chumash. Can someone just translate it? I really need a perfect translation on the following phrase. Someone please translate that phrase, Eishes Hames. The wife of the dead man now, or the one who used to be the wife of the dead man? She's still the wife of the dead person? Or she was the wife? Is or was? Over Lashon Hove. Can't tell. There's no verb in that phrase. How do you touch up the phrase Eish Hames? That's it. That's the whole world. That's the entire sugi in Yevamos Kuvdal or Aleph. Simply how to retouch. The Heiliga Tanoim looked at one phrase and saw Eilu Ve'Eilu, two different ways of looking at the same phrase in Chumash with a potentially loaded Nafkabinim. Nafkabinim Dina, love of Deraisa. Is the Chalitza going to play out the Laila acceptable on that? So Reisai, we spent the first half of this year talking about the Gittin part. There was a ruin in the how they looked at Gittin, two different lenses. Then we saw how the Yosef Ruh and the Rivan looked at Chalitza through different lenses, and have one thing left. We have to now merge and fuse the two sugyas together. How does it get Balayla play out in light of this Machlokes HaTanoim Rishonim in Yevamos Daf Kuvdal? So today's shiur was we took get almost independently, we took Chalitza almost independently, and then next week we'll try to make the cholent out of the two and try to see where does all this take us, Labaisa. This is a real shiur. This is not a joke shiur. Every once in a while, we end up with a serious shayla of being misadar and get by Laila. Why? The standard practice in Klai Yisrael is not to be misadar and get by Laila because of this whole shayla that's involved. But every once in a while, it's not a standard case. There have been countless times when husband's been hasn't given a get in a long time. They got him cornered. He's in a good mood. He's at a chasana. I say too much to drink, but maybe enough that he's in a good mood without being a Yiddish Shichlus or Shalait. And all of a sudden, he's willing to give a get at 10 o'clock at night. Wait till the next morning because there's a ruah. Wait till the next morning, can we have another 20 years? So that's a whole major discussion in Shulchan Aruch. Will we, and under what circumstances, are we going to go out on a limb and give a get at night in light of this entire sugya? So we got a lot more work to do over the next week to put together the final touches of this. stuff.
Why is it that to create a bond, i.e. Kiddushin, you don't need a basin, you only need a rug. But to break the bond, you need a basin.
So I'm going to turn that question on you. Who said you don't need a basin for Kiddushin?
Well, we know that if a man goes to a woman,
No. You just told me. Remember, there's a rule, define what a basin means. One person is a basin. So by definition, could be, okay. According to the Zarua, you only need two of them. One of them is good enough to be the basin. You need two for the Eidus to keep a davar, but one of those could wear the hats of it being a dayan. A little strange. But I thought you were asking Dr. Fish was a follower. I thought Dr. Fish was asking me, wait a second, according to what we just said, so then a Kiddushin should not be acceptable at
night.
Now, I'm going to give a dove from both directions to that question. First of all, that would make my evening significantly freer if there were no weddings at night. But especially on tonight, the night of November 29th, happens to be our anniversary, and we did get married at night of November 29th, I don't want to go on record saying there's a chashash of a marriage at night. So the answer is that for some reason, everybody agrees you get married at night, we think. So we're working with that assumption that Kedusha at night is for sure good. Why is that? You got to come back for next week to figure that out. Okay? So, we're all still married. The evidence is still married. We're going to marry tonight. We're still married. Okay. Okay, we'll take the milestone.
I don't understand this part. That to be going with the ksuvas involved.